And based on that, then which will result in the shifting of the budget and prioritizing something that is totally different from what the department is prioritizing. That is the purpose of this exercise. To actually point out that in our view, this is what should be prioritized by the department. In our view, this is how the budget should be allocated. In our view, this is what is missing. If there is something that is missing that is not budgeted for. So our responsibility is to scrutinize. And then, from our side then, we are assisted by the content advisor. We will then look at the report and analyze it, what has been presented to us by the department and the agency, and analyze that, including the annual performance plan report, as well as the quarterly reports that are presented. We also use our oversight report to look at the relevance of allocation. And the budget review also relates to a 3-year period, which means that to look forward. What changes need to be effected moving forward to make the department more relevant? So we allow them different parties to go and focus so that they can come and raise issues that we think need to be raised in comments and really analyze the report. If we are happy with the report, then we need to go to the authority. And if we feel that there are issues that need to be reached out, we are going to do that. So this is just the first time. Push them to the report. And then now open the opportunity for members to make inputs that are related to the report that was presented to us
importance of these college points is number five, which is to conduct a scientific study to assess the effects of just the condition of the carbon density. And if you recall, Chair, the department made a commitment, I think it was way in March or April, that by the end of October, it would come back to us with such an assessment. And clearly it has not done this. You know, because of the management changes. And I think we need to set another target date for when it will do this. Or if we're changing the goalposts, maybe this can be part of a strategic session that is called by the committee to evaluate, you know, mission, vision, values, I mean, objectives and so on. But it's crucially important that all the programs that is inherited from the DGI and the EPD are properly evaluated and assessed in terms of their effectiveness.
If there is an input on each point, then the impact of position and response to the point. In the program that we adopted yesterday, there is already a date set for the beginning of the for the department to go to the circle of the program. But you are correct when you say that they will come to us at the end of October. This is why they are incorporating our program. And to when then, if they said they will complete that exercise at the end of November, and then give them time to prepare that so that they can come back to us. This is what I have done. So I'm not sure then when you are saying we should shift the deadline to what will then be informed because we have reached the decision of and also we have not called them to, we have scheduled to call them on the 18th of November. And only after that time we can then say we have not called them.
Yeah, thanks Chair. I'm just looking at the program and I understand that that's what it is now. So thank you for pointing that out. Point four is out.
That point of saying the department has not done anything.
It's just been postponed by a month. That's what
it's not. The target date for them to finish, which they said to us, will be finished by end of October. There's no future. And in view of that, we then gave them a date to say, come and report to us on the 18th of November. So, in terms of that point there being raised, here is a program, you can't do that. There is a target date which is the 20th of October for them to complete, and there is a date on which they have to report to us, which is the 18th of October.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Okay.
In other words, see by the end of October when the agent will see when they come to us if they have any
right.
All
right, page 20. In the table, there's no reference to SIPA. And I think we understand why this is so, because SIPA is actually an agency of the IDC and receives its funding from the IDC. There's no budget allocation from the Department of Small Business for SIPA. Now, in a sense, what we have is we have a straight line, a straight reporting line from IDC to SIPA with a dotted line through to the Department of Small Business. But who ultimately is responsible for the funding, the funding allocation to SIPA? Is it the IDC, which reports through to the Department of Economic Development, or is it the Department of Small Business Development, which, as we know, took responsibility for this agency in April of this year? I think that that can create a potential conflict and a lack of accountability politically. Well, who makes the decisions for the funding and the strategic direction of SIPA? And that question is brought up repeatedly in this document. The funding of DFI, which includes SIPA. And I note in this morning's paper that there is a report that the National Empowerment Fund has been shifted from the responsibility of the DGI into the IDC, which reports through to the Department of Economic Development. So this is changing the landscape of DFIs, and it makes specific reference to this sitting beside SIPA, which then raises the question of what is the mandate of SIPA as opposed to the NEF. Now we know that the NEF is supposedly funding black-owned businesses, but I think we need to question through this department, through this report, again, how the mandate of SIPA sits with the mandate of the NEF and indeed the IDC. Because as we heard, there is a bit of an overlap in terms of the size of loans granted by SIPA and the size of loans granted by the IDC. So I think that we need to red flag the political accountability of SIPA and have a re-look at the DFIs in terms of what responsibility the Department of Small Business Development has as opposed to the Department of Economic Development has. Page 21. I'm curious as to where these total estimated budgets come from for these various things, marketing, cooperatives, and I'd just like clarity from the content advisor. You know, where did this figure of 360 million rand come from for cooperatives? Because it's a far cry from what is included, what is in the budget. I mean, it's like 10 times as much. So perhaps the content advisor could clarify that for us. Page 21. Well, all of these paragraphs, look at the headings in bold.
Okay.
Total estimated budget. It also says further about that, second paragraph, to mitigate the risk about the department will need the following human resources. Which says who? Who said this? Go up. Keep going up. Let this keep going. Keep going. Up. Right, that one sentence. To mitigate the risk above, the department will need the following human resources. Now, where does that come from? Who said that? The department. Where did it say that? And where have these figures come from, these medium-term expenditure frameworks come from?
Thank you, sir. This figure that from the funding. You will recall I said yesterday when we constructed some of the, most of the information that was used, that has been used going forward, is the information that has been submitted in the, during the MTF hearings, such as each international system. So the information that has already been used. So part of the information that is extracted, the document that has been submitted for MTF hearing by the department to the national treasurer in bidding for the funds going forward for the 2015-16 MTF. So basically, this is information that comes from other documents.
Just enlighten me, have these documents been presented to the committee?
As I said, the information is not presented because there was no reason to present it, because the information that has been submitted during the MTEC hearings, which I presupposed took place in September, the budget processes in the budget field. So the information that's supposed to can be have is information that, as I said, that is reconstructed, some of the information that is being used during the, that was available to the department. So it was not the committee, because there was no need or request for the committee. What information was used for the purposely for bidding during the MTEC hearings by the department.
Sorry, just enlighten me. What is MTEC?
MTEC, honorable chance, in the budget processes, in South Africa that we use, MTEC is one of the budget process. For example, the budget process starts on the from the emanating from the MTSF. Then after that, there are priorities that are being extracted, we call short-term priorities. After that, there are bids that are being done by each and every department, which is called MTEC hearing. This is called MTEC expenditure committee, which listens the all the departmental bids for the budget based on the priorities that are given to them. That is the government, that is the executive process, important to budget process to bid for the budget for the next financial year for the allocation. And as such, this MTEC here is considered for adjustment and also for the budget of the coming financial year. So it's MTEC here in which where the department or national department go and bid for to the national treasury to be funded. Based on the priority that have been given. And also after that, it gets approved with the National Budget Council, which is also constituted by the executive ministers of the country. So that is that all the department in essence, they are required to come and be during September. That is normally done in September according to the processes of the budget processes.
Okay, thank you for that. Tell us whether those figures that are in bold on page 21 and 22 have been included in the budget, or whether they are additional sums which the department is requesting.
Then you want to just, what is happening when they are bidding? They bid for a program at a program and sub program level, and then with a budget line items. So when the document that comes to us, it's a budget, it's a document that is always on a high level in the sense of programming, sub-programming, highlighting of which items, which means of which item, meaning which the item that has been budgeted has a significant budget, to share significant budget of that particular program or sub-program. So these ones, because I asked in particular in a program one, for example, sub-program, what is this that you said we are going to fund going forward? Then this is the information that came forward.
All right, I'm sorry to be harping on this, but I just need to be quite clear. So take, for example, the first figure of 10,778,916.84. Where does that appear in the budget that is included in that table on page 20? You go back.
Let me see, which is from the program one. Look, I I'm leveraging an economic classification. Economic classification is what you are trying to say. You are saying for program one, which is also is a program level and economy, for program one, I'm starting from 50%. So, for example, in program one, that part of that amount is would be under compensation of employees and part of the amount under goods and services. Because when we talk about that, that amount, it means that you have to employ. You have to, because they are saying that we have to employ the market, we are going to be a market research, chief director, market research, we have to use events. So part of the money is the compensation of employees, part of the money is the goods and services. Because when we are conducting events and all those things that have been researched here, this needs the goods and services. You have to pay under goods and services for traveling and other costs. But you have to employ a person who's called chief director market assets, as they are saying here, which is that for that salary falls under the compensation of employees.
Okay, I understand that now, thank you. So would it not be helpful if this BRRR had the program budget as well, as outlined, so that we can understand how each of the programs is funded? So this budget on page 20 is not a program budget. And it's a bit confusing to me to have the budget stated in such a way that you can't tell exactly how much is allocated towards goods and services, how much is allocated to staff for each of these programs. Do you see what I'm saying?
I think maybe you can just pass it better, because what I'm saying, what is the norm is that when you are, for example, if you put in this plan, in program one, you are CFO or whatever in the department together with this executive. If they are saying that program one and administration, we want, these are the things that we want to budget. Program one is administration, which has some sub programs, for example, under program one, you've got your ministry, you've got your office of the DG. Under each and every sub programs, there are those things that item that is the item that they said that the government administration could be transferred, say that one employee or one to make a national staff, one to run a certain project. Then that is where the budget that now says that, under minister there is a staff program, okay, if you want to run this project like marketing, these are budget line items that will be required. Then those budget line items under that program, as I just explained, for example, some of them will require to pay employees goods and services. But in a nutshell, at the end of the day, as a group from each and every program to program three, what this thing will going to require under compensation of employees for entire program, three of the programs, after you have interrogated each and every unit for chief directorate that constitutes of that program or that who calls that program. After they've interrogated and come up with each and every proposal, budget proposal, which at the end of the day, you count them together because we're going to be the department. They say that for conversion of employee treasurer, this the amount that I need. But at the end of the day, you can't get to do this interpret what this total figure is being is constituted. This is what is happening because when you follow the threat of saying goods and services, this is the global figure that I'm wanting.
All I'm saying is that we as a committee do not have enough information with which to properly interrogate the budget. That's all I'm saying. And I'm requesting the department next to this provide the information of the detailed program breakdown so that we are able to assess whether we think that the prioritization of expenditure for each of those programs is going to have the desired results. Can I continue, Chair? Which then brings me to this question of the estimated budget for cooperatives. And unless I've read this incorrectly, it says 360 million rand. Page 22. Which again brings me back to the question of where it would appear in the budget. Page 22, point 4. So up.
point of concerns. Maybe it's a misprint. I'll verify that. Maybe it's me who wrote it. Maybe it's a transient 6 million. Because it might be 3 million, 2.6 million. Maybe I added another zero extra.
Yeah, but if you look at the budget, it's 50 million, right? 3 years. And there's no logical connection between 360 million and 50 million. So, you know, again, that leads us to question the veracity of many of these numbers. So I think you need to go back and explain to us what that figure actually should be.
My understanding is also that the 50 million is the corporate incentive scheme. But that is not the only thing that is done in order to make the corporate system. Which, for me, means that part of this money would be maybe in another program that relates to cooperative, but it's meant for the development of cooperative, but the 50 million only relates to cooperative incentive. But the development of cooperative, when you develop cooperative, you don't only need the 350,000. There are other services that are needed by cooperatives. And some of those services are provided by SIDA. To develop business plans, to do feasibility studies, to do all sorts of other services. But we would need the department to clarify that as to how the total figure is spread out.
Quite correct, Chair, which again comes back to the point that I made earlier, which is that we have to see the program budget to understand how the expenditure is divided. So maybe that figure is correct, 360 million, but we need to know where it comes from. Okay.
Because I think if you look at the quarterly report, it was reported that coming from the DGI, the question of the academic tribunal as well as the ministry, it is the academic in the tribunal, it is the agency, it wasn't budget for, but then the report said that it will be taken over from 2015 and the other way, which then it might be the source, not that I'm accurate with the other percent, but you're quite right. Even training by the department is done out of money, not from the CS, and it's done out of the money that they get to train them, but also it was the recommendation then to put it under the next day, 3 years or so, giving the support of the Department of Health.
Thank you for that.
Can you text them? Sorry,
what is creating a problem in the process of delivery is that the department, particularly the CFO and the DG, who are the people that would be more knowledgeable in terms of representation of this figure, are not here to actually clarify the issues that we are asking. So we are dealing with a document without having the CFO and the DG to actually clarify what we are doing. And I think that is a very, very serious mess in terms of the department. taking seriously and prioritizing its work. When we deal with the budget, we need the presence of the people that have response to the question. We can't be dealing with the budget review and then we don't have people that are going to be responding to the questions that we are putting forward. It's a very serious issue. I don't know whether it is an issue that is informed by the approach of the us and them. What is happening here is that we are wishing in our responsibility of providing effective oversight, because we are people that are supposed to be giving us answers and not here. The content advisor has taken the information that was presented to the MPEC and translated that information here, which is a good thing. But to expect him to respond to the questions that are supposed to be responded to by the department is not correct. So we really do not understand why the DG and the person responsible for the budget are not here. We have not received any apology. And also if the DJ is abroad, there should be somebody from the department who takes responsibility of the processing that we are engaged in here. We can't be given a situation that says the DJ is abroad and therefore there's no one from the department to come and respond to our question. Okay.
Yes, if I may just have just before we start about in terms of the increasing TCG to one the aware of party financial reasons of the editor was our supplier in Indonesia. And also concerned as well to put it.
Thank you,
Chair. If I may continue. Page 24. Paragraph 3.3, third line. The figure of 97% of the budget allocated to the department was spent to achieve the following targets. I'm not quite sure that I can agree with that, because as far as I can tell, this table does not include any reference to CETA, which itself accounts for 80% of the department's budget. These are departmental programs. But maybe you can elaborate, I'll send it either.
Thanks, Anderson. What is happening in that? The structure of the department, our department, budget, when, the budget allocation, constitute what people do. As I request, when this document is repeatedly emphasized, is that majority of funds, that is almost 85% of the budget of that 1.1 billion, is transferred to the entity. And get it to the report under their annual report. Because what I'm saying, that 97%, including, the 1 billion, the money that has been spent, including the money that has been transferred to the entities. But the service delivery, these service delivery outputs are the ones that were linked to the regulatory department. And then I this information is the one that has been reported and audited, and which we know that is reported in the annual report of the TGI. But I think maybe we could say that if we in some way revisit this paragraph sentence by saying it goes amongst others, because indeed other outputs have been recorded under the annual report of the TGI. I'm sorry, of the CETA, for example. Hence I say that the budget that the department is receiving, majority of the funds are transferred to the entities, which is CETA, in particular CETA and PSTPP. They are the ones that have constituted the differential amount. But his output, his deliverables that are reported, he has the one that's directly to the department. So it is on those ones. That's why we can qualify the sentence by that includes amongst other mistakes.
I don't think that we can use terms such as amongst others. It's too unclear. As the facts stand, this table excludes CETA. So because CETA accounts for 80-85% of the total budget of the department, that 97% figure is not correct. So I would ask that it be corrected, or that this paragraph includes CETA, but preferably the former. Because I'd like to know what the breakdown of the costs are of these programs. If you recall, when we had the annual report presented last week, the four programs listed by the DTI in the annual report indicated underperformance of each of those performance indicators. That didn't include CETA, so I'd like that to clarify, please.
Can I get a credit for the chance? I would need to think that let us take, because under CETA, for example, we reported the outputs. So should we take even those outputs and input it under those services that are going to the department? Because in under CETA, there are outputs that are, the output for the CETA, what CETA achieved during the previous financial year, they are reported because they started with the annual report of CETA. And then another thing that this one in particular should have started the annual report of the department. Because in any event, even during this financial year, we are going to receive the annual report of the department, which only deals the reported to what the department has been targeted. Seeing that a program that can include the department, see that it's going to report individual on the program, on the target achieved. And this is what we did in the first to address that issue under CETA. So I'm not sure whether you want to say that. Let us check this information under CETA and go and plan with this information under CETA.
I'd rather you collect it as it is. CETA is separately reported on this report, but change that figure of 97% to what it actually is. It's going to be closer to 15%, or even less. So just get the numbers and change that percentage to what it actually reflects. These five programs effectively are consuming less than 15% of the department's budget. We want to know what that figure is. Thank you.
Can I cut off this? Honorable Chang is saying the department did not use 90% of its budget on this. Because out of the total budget of the department, more than 80% was transferred out to school. And then in arriving at a percentage of money that was used to implement this program, it will therefore not be the 97% of the budget. This would be fine. If it is reflected in this way, it creates an impression that the department use a lot of money and give them very less results. This is not the case.
Calify
is correct.
And I go further, Chair, thank you for that, and request that actually each of these five programs themselves is given a percentage allocation so that we can understand how much each one is costing and what the results are for that money that's being spent. Okay, page 29, bottom paragraph. I'm not quite sure how we're going to deal with this, but maybe the point is that there is clearly a difference of opinion between the DA and the ANC on the role of intermediaries. We believe that correctly appointed and structured and mandated that intermediaries play an absolutely vital part in the financing of small business. So whether we put a note at the end of this BRRR that there was a disagreement on that matter, we can discuss that later, but just want to flag it now. What I'm saying, Chair, is that that there is a feeling amongst some members of the ANC on this committee that the CIFA should cease using intermediaries as a method of financing its beneficiaries, and that it should rather go direct to avoid the interest charges of between 40 and 110%. We disagree. Whilst we're not saying that high interest rates are a good thing, we think that it's going to be practically impossible for CIFA to take on the role of its multiple intermediaries and do loans direct. Now that will be part of a discussion that we have with CIFA at another stage, but I don't want us to be seen as the DA to be supporting the view in this report that we believe that intermediaries should be a part of the service delivery to or finance small business.
It's a point that we have often debated in various pieces. My impression in the various meetings was that a majority of the portfolio committee members were in favor of continuing to use intermediaries of funding, as the bulk of the funds do not reach the destination they are used, they end on the way. So, because I also assume that when we express points as a committee, we are also guided by the views of the majority. Otherwise, we may as well have different reports from various committee members. So I just thought I should read that point so that the Honorable Chance knows that.
My recall on this matter is that the issue is more about the high interest rate that is charged by the intermediary. That is the issue. And the debate from the ANC side is on two things. One, that interest rate does not help the SMMEs and cooperatives to compete in a space where low price gives you more points for you to access the market. That is accepted the argument from the agency perspective, saying this is a small business. The small businesses charge an interest rate that is too high, which becomes part of the cost of doing business. Then forces the small business to charge a particular price that accommodates the interest rate. But the very same small business was bidding for the tender or supplying whoever, the procurement system of the country is allocating more points for the low price, which then becomes a hindering factor for the development of the small business as well as the participation of the small business in the market. If I am charged a higher price, a higher interest, my goods and services that I will sell will also, the price that I will charge for my goods and services will be influenced by the interest that I'm charging. Therefore, there is no way for me to be told that as a small business, the competition is fair. The competition is not fair. Because I'm competing with the people that are getting interest at prime plus 2 or prime minus 2. But I am charging interest of 40 to 210%. That is the argument from the ANC. But secondly, the ANC is saying this is a DFI that is channeling money to the needy, people that are supposed to be getting loans at a very low interest. But the DFI is channeling that money through an intermediary. And what you are questioning is the app that allows the intermediary to do that from the agency perspective. What informs that act of intermediary that gives them a new way to say they can charge up to so much? Intermediaries, if they are a structure that will provide user-friendly interest rates, it's not an issue to us. What is an issue to us is the high interest rate and the fact that there is an act that allows them to do that. That is the argument from the ANC perspective. So we want to be understood as to what is it that we are saying is the ANC. We are saying small businesses and cooperatives should not be subjected to high interest rate on loans.
I accept that your interpretation, Chair, but if you read this document, that's not what this document says. On page 30, third line, first paragraph, thus, FIFA has to reach these small businesses without using micro-lenders stroke intermediaries. That's not what you're saying.
This document, Honorable Chance, is a draft.
No,
the ANC is going to make its own submission.
Fine, that's fine.
I have explained the position of the ANC. So take what the ANC is saying, not what the document is saying, because we are going to be making our own submission on the document. We don't agree with everything that is in the document. I have put the position of the ANC.
Fine, thank you for that clarification. Okay. If I then turn to the last page, under funding, we don't have any fundamental disagreements with this. We said earlier that the department has to be incapacitated with this model to enable it. analysis of the industry and the sector is sorely needed, not being done by staff per se. So the department has to have the capability to interrogate its target market so that it knows how to allocate funds more effectively. Then under governing recommendations, I think reference needs to be made, and it hasn't been made anywhere in this document, to the National Small Business Advisory Council, which is a provision of the original Act. And the department has gone out advertising the NSBAC, requesting nominations. And I think there's an important governance structure within the department that we need to make reference to. Secondly, I think that we need to explicitly say that we need to engage with Treasury and probably other departments for a proper review of the TFMA, the MFMA, and the preferential procurement as regards set-aside concerns. And we need to see that preferably before the practice vote goes out. We need to engage with the Treasury to see what the constitutionality of the set-aside is, 30% for small business. Because it certainly wouldn't pass muster with those acts as they currently stand. The next point is, I would like us to see an emphasis placed upon impact and outcomes rather than inputs and process. You know, it's all very well to say that, you know, we've dispersed X million rands, we've engaged with X number of small business and cooperatives. Let's look at the outcomes in terms of jobs created, tax paid, you know, reduction of poverty, all sorts of indicators. And then using what I referred to last week as a longitudinal analysis, in other words, take a 3-year study of impacts on businesses. You know, how has a business grown as a result of the impact, as a result of the intervention by the department? Has it started at 3 employees and going to 30 employees? What's the long-term impact? Then we need to be sure that the claims of jobs created are in fact correct. We need to know what methods the department and CEDA is using to put a number on jobs created, 68,000. Where did you get that number? Are you taking it as read that, you know, when you ask your beneficiaries, they tell you how many jobs they have created? Well, prove it. Audit it. Then the department needs to explain why, in view of the emphasis that is continually placed on cooperatives, there seems to be still a non-emphasis on cooperatives. That goes back to the 360 million. We can see the breakdown of that. And then we need to also see research done on the effectiveness of the CIS, the Cooperative Incentive Scheme. There's plenty of evidence to suggest that it's been a failure, that money spent on equipment, other things, using that 350,000 rand grant has not been used properly. I think we need to get a proper understanding from the CIS about how much money is distributed historically, how many co-ops have been funded, how many are still functioning, how many people are employed or are members of those co-ops. Because if we don't understand that, we're never going to be able to know if the money is being well spent or not. Then the issue of the venture capital fund, funding startups needs to come out. And as I said, getting back to that discussion with the NEF and the IDC, we need to understand how that funding mechanism is working. And as I said last week, we need to have a further engagement with the DFI and the private sector. The fund management industry, the enterprise development industry, to say how can we pool these funds and use them more effectively. Another point, we need a presentation from CEDA on the National Gazelles Program. This thing was just launched all of a sudden out of the blue. Before we we need to have a chance to interrogate. And I don't think that's right. We also need to have a discussion with Treasury on the issue of cessation of debtors. This thing that came out last week. So the small businesses who win contracts because they have cash flow problems can see their debtors book to the department or to a third party being a finance provider that will enable them to raise the funding necessary to fulfill the contract. We heard from CIFA last week, the CFO of CIFA, that that is a major constraint on both their ability to fund and secondly on their ability to collect the debt. And the high impairment rate in CIFA is often due to the fact that they can't collect the debt directly from the customer. And then finally, on the issue of cooperatives, we need to have a discussion with the Department of Social Development and the National Development Agency that has a mandate to fund cooperatives. And again, this creates confusion in the marketplace as to which department is actually responsible for cooperatives. And it comes back to my point that I made last week, which is, what is the fundamental function of small business development? It's wealth creation. Even at the bottom of the pyramid, people still want to create wealth, whereas the Department of Social Development is about poverty alleviation. So what is the role of the cooperative? Is it wealth creation or is it poverty alleviation? Maybe it's both. It may well be. There's different ones, you know, different cultures have different purposes, but we need to have that conversation around the, you know, the relationship where the cooperative fit into the economy as an economic unit. Thank you. I've taken quite a long, but that's our input.
That also responds to the language. Cooperatives are social enterprises. They address both issues of social development and economic development. In countries where they have been successful, an analysis is done of social needs in a community. Issues like crime, poverty, unemployment, use of drugs, prostitution, all those social issues. And then the communities are being analyzed. What the resources exist in the community that could be used to provide economic stability in order to address the social needs. Which is why cooperatives do not necessarily focus on profit making, but they focus on their ability to absorb people within the community that are severely affected by social media, organize those people, and help them to form a cooperative and other members of the community who are not directly affected by those problems, but indirectly affected, we then open a space for those that are directly affected to actually earn an income in order to address the social ill in those families, which if not addressed would again have a negative impact in the very same community. So, cooperatives are not necessarily profit-driven. They are an instrument of assisting the community to address social needs at community level in a developmental manner. Now, let us look at South Africa. people who are not, who are poor, who are not employed, are a responsibility of the Department of Social Development, as we speak, mainly, in the form of a child support grant, in the form of a social grant, in the form of a food purchase. They are a burden to the government. They are also a responsibility of the Department of Human Settlements in the form of providing them with free houses, the RTP houses. They are also a responsibility of the municipality to provide them with electricity and water free. And for government to be able to do that, they have to test members of the community that have got sustainable income. And if that situation is not addressed, it, at the end of the day, it affects both those who have work, because they will be taxed more, in order for the government to get enough resources to look after those who depend on government. And a developmental approach of addressing that situation is to bring in the cooperatives who are not necessarily profit-driven, who are created in order to address the social ills and make those families afford, firstly, to become self-reliant, instead of their children being given school uniforms by the Department of Social Development, the parents buy the uniforms. In a situation where they are exempted from paying for services by a municipality, they are then able to pay for services, thereby broadening the revenue base of the municipality and preventing a situation where the few that are working would be highly taxed. That is what cooperatives do. They are not for economic wealthy, but they are an instrument that enables the community to be sensitive to issues of social development that are affecting poor families within the community. And the community opens an opportunity for cooperatives to exist so that those that are being taxed currently will not be highly taxed, because those that are looked after by the government, with every the indigent register and every the social grant register, can reduce their dependency on government for their daily survival. That is what the cooperative does.
Thank you for that. For what you're saying, but I'm sure then you must go back to CEDAW, because that's not what CEDAW are telling the community on the ground. So then we need to bring CEDAW into the room again and give him some power training, so that because at the moment CEDAW are there's a lot of expectations for this members of cooperatives. And that's definitely not what CEDAW is preaching out on the field. Thank you.
I agree with you. I would accept through the chairperson. Could I ask Honorable Kruger just give a little bit of more flesh of what CEDAW expresses?
I think the message that CEDAW is preaching out there to our communities is about wealth creation. And I think that's wrong. And if you don't believe me, I can take you to JS Morocco or to JS Morocco Municipality, I can take you to the city, and we can go and talk to those cooperatives that has already been formed and hear what the expectations.
I have been, the Deputy Minister and myself have been relating to CEDAW
in our previous employment in trade industry. They are not even a funding entity. Their task is primarily to empower people technically, financial abilities, etc. But they will be the last to promise people that they will help people to create wealth. But what they do is to help people to deliver what they do better. Let us assume cooperatives are producing furniture. Cedar will provide or acquire skills for them, for that cooperative, so that that cooperative sharpens its skills and does that task in as professional a manner as possible. But because they are falling under us, we are continually having engagements with them. So when they do come, the question could be raised. But I just thought I must clarify what I have understood. Actually, Cedar even goes on record to say they wouldn't favor a situation where the department hastens to fund cooperatives and SMEs if such are not equipped technically by them. So that they emphasize more on technical and on banks cooperation.
I also think that in understanding cooperative, you should also reflect on the history of this country and how the economy is structured. Currently, the South African economy is dominated by capitalism. And cooperatives are social enterprises, not necessarily subscribing to capitalism. They are not there to make profit. And also we need to look at how the process of establishing cooperatives has been done in the past so that we are able to correct. In the absence of cooperative development academy, we will not achieve an understanding of what a cooperative is. Because you first need to train people on the concept of cooperative. What is it that you seek to achieve through cooperative? And if then an educational instrument that has to play that role is lagging behind, that role cannot be played by CIDA, because CIDA is not mandated to train cooperatives, to people of South Africa to understand the concept of cooperative and what is it that you would want to achieve through cooperative. Even auditing of cooperative is different from auditing a private company. A cooperative may not have made a profit on the book, but a cooperative would have impacted positively on the social ill, in a sense that 5 women who were prostitutes are no longer prostituting. They are working in a cooperative. Therefore, that social ill has been addressed through a cooperative that is not having a profit on the balance sheet. That is how cooperatives are audited. Also, another example is that when you audit a cooperative, you would look at whether the money that comes into this community or goes out. And if the schools in the past were built by companies that were coming from outside, and as a result of establishing cooperatives, identifying poor families, the community now is able to build its own school, meaning that the financial resources that are deployed in that community are remaining in the community. Even if the cooperatives that are operating in that community do not have the profits on the balance sheet. But the fact of the matter is the community is building its own schools and the employment is given to the people who are locally who would have survived on the social grant if a good audit outcome in a cooperative, which would not be a good audit outcome in a profit-making company. That is the difference between a cooperative and a company.
I agree 100% with you, and I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, the CDA need to understand this, and CDA, because at the moment, because there's no academy for computers, CDA is the training, or CDA is the information. And that's all I want to say. I agree 100%. But I think there's wrong information going to the field, because the KPIs of CDA on one stage was not how successful cooperatives are, but how many cooperatives they start. That was the KPIs. I mean, so they went into communities and tell them all sort of fairy tales just to get them signed to, on the dotted line. And those cooperatives are still there. People actually mistrust the whole concept of cooperatives because of CDA, not because of cooperatives, but because of information, misguided information into the community. So I agree 100%, Jim. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Maybe if there's a certain case that Honorable Kruger has, I'm sure in terms of people missing from in the community, I think that can be taken care of, I think, to get that report, so that you can be able to get that. Honorable Babasa said exactly what I was going to say. See, that money is a non-financial support measure that they do to SMEs, but then even to cooperatives when they are asked for. And CIDA had a program of distributing intra-running of cooperatives in a community model, which is nearly 50% of what the Jefferson is saying. And also the other elements, none of them even doing as part of business. But most of those cooperatives that were under CIDA at the time were those that offered high paying, not those of 10, 5 members only, but taking large communities. Like the one in Limpopo that is doing the tomatoes as well as the pepper juice. It is a huge project of a community that was assisted by CIDA, and they are even exporting some of the pepper juice and are supplying even to it. That is in Limpopo. There's one in Mpumalanga that I've also launched and also has a follow-up with them, academia, not of the young people. That one also was working on, I'm not sure now whether it's still working, but the last time I checked on it, there are some cooperatives that are operating There are some communities that is who say some of them has to close down because they have problems and challenges. And I'm sure expecting we should get the status of where those communities are as asked for by the committee to say the department needs them to do that. But surely the change of mandate in terms of what now the new Department of Small Business are doing with the whole focus on your portfolio, like under the Department of Training, that has been said in many meetings. And that's why it's what now the models that have been, some of it, I mean, were adopted here by the committee to say, can we change that model that can be able to make us achieve much more in terms of what we expected? So if we then go out and misinform people and create confusion, I'm not sure whether that's not right. They do that because it's not what it's supposed to be. But the model that we're operating was the one that is under C++C, that they then try to assist those that in a massive scale, assist them to get access to market, assist them to deal with a lot of their senior technology program machines, which are looking at bigger cooperatives than to assist them then to grow more and to look at the value chain, part of what the chairperson has always been not only to do just those products, but then look at the value chain of all of those. Mm-hmm. And that is what the CIDA technology program do in terms of the CIDA. But surely now, under the new department, with a better focus now on small business and cooperatives, and a discussion on the model that we have to use that will be suitable today with what we think we'll be able to change the people's lives and all that.
Chairperson, thank you. I would like us to go further with this report because CIDA was with us last week and there were no such questions because they could have answered better. They could have given us better answers. Now, of late, CIDA comes up from standing in one hour from CIDA to process. And also, CIDA is in the region. There is no money that is in CIDA. They only help the people. Like, I'm talking about my own experience in where I live in Akinsen. There is no money that is given out by the CIDA or promises are made. They live in the constituency of one of the schools, but not in the
I think that I've explained to this committee before that triggered the amendment of the then Department of Training that they're looking at the life of cooperatives and trying to make sure that we can do much better. That's why then we have to agree to an agency that will look at that because we saw it fit that if we are serious about cooperatives, then we must create an agency to support system, or we must also create the academy that will be solely dealing with the training, as we say, concept, understanding, whatever. Most of cooperatives showed me some of them were formed on a wrong conceptualization. They thought people were going to communities and saying that's not CIDA. People who were posing like the what? Yeah, like consultants or community development, they would come to people and say, come form yourself into five and then we'll both get money for you and you can 10% of the money. That's what in other cases used to happen. But it wasn't CIDA who was doing that. But in the case of yes, I don't know what it was, but it's not CIDA. It was people who were posing as people who want to assist them, but not in wrong approach and conceptualizing cooperatives wrong. So that is why then it triggered them at the time to say, let's have a proper academy, let's have also look at issues that come up in terms of trying to solve these matters in a proper way. The government is still serious about cooperatives and see as a better way to empower people and to give them grants only. But as you know, the issue of grants that came is not a creation of the African National Cooperative Government. It was trying to relieve a problem that existed before with the inequalities that existed. But I mean, mostly of the white people at the time used to get the grannies and the grandpas of them used to get lots of money. given by the government, but the applicants and the majority were not getting those money that way for social whatever. But then it ended up them saying that let's change that system, we are now under new democracy, let's try them and make sure that we can be able to look at the progress, that we'll be able to assist everybody to move out of poverty and have the equal amount given to everyone, whether you're white, whether you're Indian, whether you are black and all that. Let's come now with this particular issue that is solving in a better way. If you remember well, the older people from the African community used to get, when they used to get money once every month, my grandmother used to get that money once every month. It ended up shifting to once, maybe after 2 months, it ended up being once a month. But the grannies from the white community used to get money like every month without talking about it. So those are the imbalances that were created before. And then coming up to the social development, what trying to assist that and say, we are one country now, we can't be treating each other differently, to let's look at the question of the social grant to be, I mean, for other people. But also looking at the offerings that we have and others, of course, I can also. But as the chairperson said, the way that the Department of Social Development, why they are in cooperatives, it is exactly to have an exit strategy, because you can't, as a country, continuously have more money on money for social grants, because it's not going to be sustainable. But because you are trying to address an imbalance that was created before, they have to do it, but then that's why they are then forming this co-op, and they're able to say, people that are giving money is not only for consumption only. They should look at also starting costs and then support as well. At the end, they can be out of the indigenous people register and then they can sell on their own. It is within that spirit. But legally, the department that was used to deal with the cooperatives under one group before the agriculture ones and all that, before the 2005, then we have the 2005 Act that then covered all the cooperatives under this year, and it has migrated to the small business. So it is still the lead department that deals with cooperatives, but other departments, even under public works, yes, they also have forms of trying not to give people money for nothing. But I think we all agree, we don't want to give people fish to eat, but you want to teach people how to get the fish. So at the end of the day, people can be able to live, and as we are starting to be a developmental state, that is exactly in part of that, but then it can be coordinated even better. But that's the reality of where we come from, and we're trying to deal with the issue. So the model that the chair is talking about, we're just talking to that, but at the same time, the sustainability of those cooperatives, what you put in there to make sure that they can also make the money together. One can't be the first person that wants to create one only. They have to deal with the social issues, but in that, if they're sustainable, they can work. I mean, before we even said this, Italy, the economy is working on cooperatives. And those people own big, they own banks, they own hotels, they own whatever. And their system is supporting them, even the set aside, they've done that long ago, and it is working. Because they look at the value chain, not only at the end product. If people are doing linen clothes or sheep, whatever, they don't look at the end product and find themselves somewhere. They start from planting cotton as a company. Plant the cotton, do it in a mini factory that they do, take it then to be manufactured, catering as the CTM or whatever. Then the ultimately deliver up to the shelf of the shop or something. If the cooperative right through, looking at the different places where the cooperative do this and then where. Kenya here next door is doing exactly that. Milk in Kenya is not provided for by Kamalas or what is another top the companies. It is the cooperatives that are doing it from the start of the process until the end in the shares of the shop. So it is possible to me, I think, we can look at that at the model that has been proposed and see how they should deal with it. But it can't be an issue that we have followed all the time. Let's see, because it was at the end under the development of changes, now it is a small business. We'll be able, I'm sure, to come up with a model that can work better. And it's important. I'm sure that was what we did discuss from last year, early this year, and I think if we can then look at those issues and try to have a multi-form approach so that we deal with the issues of poverty education and making sure that people cannot rely on government for transport. Thank you.
Can we move to other contributions if the very submission? Honorable Mark.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the Commission members. Chair, I think this document has got more of what we've been discussing here at the moment. That is what I've drawn from the meeting. And as such, one would have few to differ with the document. But I think in essence is what we've been saying. But there are only two things that I want to mention. On page 31, where it talks about the 2005 amendments to the Corporations Act, that the recommendations of Cooperatives Academy and Cooperatives Development Agency, to this stage, those ones have not yet been established or funded, and no response from the Minister of Finance regarding that. My proposal, Chair, would be that as a committee we take that one further, because in my opinion the establishment of the Cooperatives Academy is important and is something that we should push for, because in my opinion that it can play a big role in educating and assisting and empowering members of cooperatives. And the aging as well. I would recommend the Chair that we also make it one of our recommendations that we push for, and that will really influence that the Minister of Finance make his pronouncement. Maybe that's the Chair, what disturbed me is this issue of work in 25. I remember last time in the same venue, which was highly contested by the Honorable Chief of the Committee. But one couldn't get really the bigger picture of what this is all about. I do not know, Chair, to you, if maybe Honorable Mabasa can take us, because he seems to have more knowledge as to the background of this work in 25, which I find very disturbing, because it continues to be a pilot project throughout, and there is no way where one sees the outcomes or is given the outcomes of this pilot project. What is it all about? Because I try to get a sense myself as to how it's going to help the communities, but I couldn't get it. But I remember Honorable Mabasa was highly contesting the issue. Maybe I thought if you can take us more to the background so that one can make an informed position regarding that. And I want to say other things that it's sort of been said in the committee, and I don't have any contrary. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable
Mark.
Thank you, Chair.
On the issue of walking 25, emanates from three people. Now, of course, they are white people, in fact. So those three people came with a proposal to the Department of Trade and Industry. And the proposal was asking the Department of Trade and Industry to fund them, so that they in turn can help the township shops and the rural area shops, so that those shops can be able to stand up to the more vehement competition. try to get the shops to buy wood at park, which is good. But the charge that they impose on the government, it's a very high percentage. And the fact that it's not even being transferred to black people, so that in the long run, they can themselves be able to run their business efficiently. That is a concern. So that one, it is the intellectual property that remains perpetually owned by the three people. Two, the way they stock and bank, etc., is also done for them by the three people. So that there is no transfer of skills. They are doing it for them. Admittedly, some of the shops that they have held have improved. I know one shop in Orlando East. When I say they have improved, I mean the outlay of the shops. That you find there's more lighting provided, you find there's more, what do they call it, where you write the name of the shop outside, branding, is it branding, signage, so such things are improved. And they are improved, yes, due to Walking 25. But my argument was that transformation in South Africa will also be about the transferring of skills from white people to black people. You know, it's primarily that important, that primary issue stands. So that it's not black people and so on. Something being done for them. Should those three people suddenly exit from the contract, it will mean those shops will collapse again to what they were. But my other argument was, it would have been a better empowerment if the department had identified students from various universities, those that have completed their studies. Some will be in marketing, because marketing is a component. Some will be in financial management, so that those students are empowered to do what Walking 25 is doing. That way we will find that all over the country, we are empowering the majority of South Africans to do things for themselves. So briefly, that's how it goes.
It seems you explained a lot today. I thought you did a great deal of saving for Walking 25 in 180. So I'm not sure how that is always coming back and creating the issue. Yes, it was a pilot under the Department of Trade and Industry. What was the agreement between the two? It was for the module, to take the module so that the module can work for our other shops in the past. Because of looking at some of the solutions that were not growing and creating a breakthrough within the cooperative movement to say they must work together and be about 5-6 of them, they can apply them for money in the federal cooperative and then get the assistance. That's what, but it was merely for the model. Yes, unfortunately, they're engaging from the three people, amongst them the white people, but what then the department at the time saw as a good model is to say some of the shops are opening in Orlando, and in the conference there was Akama as a storage capacity to assist those other shops to grow, and also is a clear model of cooperative style. So maybe the unfortunate part, it is a question that those people happen to be white, but mostly what was looked at as a pilot, because we are not in agreement to fully give them everything else, but you said their model seems to be one of the good models. So in that, even if they are white, but their model was assisting, that's why some of the shows had been operating, because they were able to assist them. So there are many more other stories then that are linked to this, but in some of those shows, they believe this was for those three men, and some of them end up killing some of the women thinking that they belong to prison. And that was the unintended consequence in some of the shows. So maybe let's get a proper report and everything else that will come. But to me, it was a panel under DCI. It's just that now it has been transferred to FIFA, but then it can work under FIFA. So let's get that type of a full pilot report as we discuss, really looking at what expired and where were the challenges, where were the advantages. In some of this, we'll agree to disagree in how then we look at the state. I'm not a person that is favoring intermediaries and all that, but I don't believe that. But then look for a model that is used, but it can't be used for you to do it, rather than then continuously having to go to the intermediary. So it is within that that I understood at the time when I was here. So I would say, let's get a full report of what was the agreement in detail and what then came out so that just so. But to me, using a model that works, even if it comes from whoever, it's something that you can use what is best for you. Yet been transferred. They are in a process of trying to migrate it to FIFA. As you speak now, it's not under the small business. It's still there, but it happens then to FIFA come on. So FIFA will be able to deal with it now under the new dispensation.
Before I give up another number, I want to remind the committee of how we concluded this matter in our previous meeting. In our previous meeting, we said all of us are not familiar with what is 25. And we then said we would schedule a meeting wherein the department will give us a full report of what was done when what in 25 was in operating under DGI, as well as what in 25 would also make their presentation. And in the presentation of the department, they will also point out the areas of improvement in order to make the model work. This is what we ended up saying on Saturday. So, in the interest of time and what we are dealing with today, can we put this matter and shelve it because we have agreed that we will go back to it. Any other submissions? Yeah, I would like to make Honorable Misha.
Thank you, Jefferson. Looking at the common submissions from PC. That's an example from my all these challenges of lack of access to market, but you will still profit. But now there is a challenge of foreign entrepreneurs that are better skilled and we are called subsidized. That gives them an advantage over the locals. So I think it's a challenge that we should be looking for. In all countries, people talk about it.
Agree with that. Borogoro, Malawi.
No, sorry, sir, President. I won't be long because most of the members entertain, so many extra points. But I want to also to terminate on the issue of also the EFS was in a part of the by telling our communities your representation was what touched because too high. So this is a great favor to the poor people. And I'm pretty steady when we talk about the funding. I can see the everything the funding depends only on the national salary and the FIFA. And we are both of the problems. But the problem here is not the department itself, it's the system which is consuming. Because the system of funding is the whole entire country in South Africa. You find that even the big banks and they're not included in terms of funding. And these banks, even if you check their funding system, they can fund you money to buy a car for 1 million rand. But they can't fund you 200,000 rand to start a business. They can fund you a lot of money to buy a very expensive car. They know that you are not going to do anything. It's not going to change your life. And some of the cars that end up being for paying for sales. You see, now we're talking about this school fees and everything in the university. It's not babies, man, the system. Anything if I can go there, nothing can do the system. The other thing which I wanted to add on funding, what are the big companies mining are doing to support funding the small businesses? Where are they? We can't depend only on the government and on FIFA, say, parasite of the government. Why? But big companies, if only the money, you can see, this, if you can see the salaries of the CEOs of the company of the mining, the bonuses, lots of money. Why? Because they are not investing back to the community because of the system. So, I think in one of the recommendations, of funding at page 31. You can add also the system of funding and be include also to go out outside the government side of area like the mines and the and big companies to assist small businesses in terms of financing. Then we'll start to take the system towards to assist the small businesses.
Then, on page 33, it speaks about the accommodation for the department. I'm looking at a rental of 1290 that has been paid by the department to DVI. I think it's a lot of money if you just pay as a rental. I think the department must get their own accommodation so that if it's 390 rental and the annual is 4.7 million, it's a lot of money. If we can get our own accommodation, I think we'll tell us the person. Let's go to page 82. On the government recommendation on 6.2 number 3, the fast tracking of process that aims to the signing of a translation that will benefit the SMEs and cooperatives with all spheres of government. I think that one must be looked into and okay, losing of income in there, I think that whatever group now just mentioning. I still, on my own view, I think that we still, yes, you say the model, we must look at the models, okay, intermediaries, but I think we need to have, consider that, we need to have a cheap one that will consider circumstances of micro and sub-advisory enterprises. I think those are the few things that I think we have on this report. Thank you very much.
I would also propose that we Treasury be engaged on the 2080 formula as well as on the 1090 formula. You know, I would propose that this should continually be part of our report so that we don't lose it in our process.
Until to the drafting to the public, the external public files for public comment, the draft regulation for P2P, for this P2P, important to change the way. But you might say that it was within that the comments that they received was like negative, which was not welcome. As such, they decided to draft a piece, a procurement piece, done on taking consideration of this individual in order to be implemented.
I don't know how we can raise this point, the point where if under resolving somewhere, even under the discussion, we can capture there is this group of traders that evade us. The informal traders, if we can particularly capture them as well as resolve under them, because I think even our strategies seem to go just above them. We are not necessarily capturing those informal traders, we are hitting just above them, so I'm not sure how we fit.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honourable Mugata needs to be aware that CIFA says that 90% of its loans are micro loans to small businesses, including the small traders. So it would be interesting for CIFA to come back to us with a bit more information on who the recipients of those loans in terms of the sector that they belong. We know that construction takes a very high proportion of it, but I think retail also takes a high proportion. And we maybe need to understand if CIFA is actively engaging with the spa shops, the small traders, the micro traders.
given to us who they are servicing financially, who the department services financially, these are these it mandated targets that would help. But also to report a strategy, because I don't think that the department has a strategy of servicing the very lowest informal traders. I'm not even speaking of cyber shops. I'm speaking of those people that are selling along the streets, those people that are selling at the railway stations, at the bus stations. So those people are completely missed. They are not the target. As a target of the department, from my observation, is completely missing them. The strategy must be revised to address those people. Thanks for it.
Okay. I also have my own input to make. I would like to say that I agree with many of the report in a nutshell in capturing Wi-Fi signals to us. And he said after an analysis of what we want to continue. However, I would want us to reflect on a few issues. Firstly, the committee cannot be peaceful. By the fact that we are sitting here today and deliberating on this report, and the accounting officer of the department is not here. That is the fact that we have gone to the invitation to what is happening. It's a disregard of this committee and processes of analysis. Because the ruling proposed by the department and our recommendation on the budget review require an engagement between the portfolio committee and the department for us to reach a common understanding as to why certain things are done. It can therefore not be correct that a on such an important meeting we don't have an accounting. But over and above that, we don't have an approach. That is the first issue. The second issue that I would want to raise is that on page 5, item 1.4, subtitle previous budget review report, budget review recommendation report, which is the one for last year. This portfolio committee made the recommendation that the minister finance has to respond to, and he has responded. On the same page, there are recommendations that were specifically needing the response of the Minister of the Department of Human Services. We don't have a submission. And if there was no extension from the House Chairperson responsible for committee for us to adopt our report on giving committees permission to adopt the report on the 28th, we would not have had a report from the Minister on this report. And that is a serious issue. If this committee can make recommendations in 2014, and by the time we go to processing the budget review, the minister responsible for this department has not made a submission to this committee. That is a very, very good issue. And we don't even get an explanation of whether she will be responding or not. Then on page 5. We have item 1.4, and again on page 6, we have 1.4, under negotiation. And my proposal is that we change that 1.4 under methodology and make it 1.5. On page 10, in dealing with the FI, the committee also invited Mudrago for policy. And there are lessons that we learned from that. It is mentioned that here that we had a workshop, but it is not mentioned that the Mondragon cooperatives were part of the workshop and what input was given by them that we should then. And if I remember very well, there are two distinctions that are made by the Mondragon. The establishment of the vocational community training center for cooperatives to actually, one, understand the cooperative concept, two, gain technical skills and business management skills. Very, very important for cooperatives. But also, what made Mondragon Cooperative to be successful was the establishment of the cooperative bank, owned by cooperatives. The self-reliant approach was they were not dependent on government to give them funding, government alone to give them funding to establish a cooperative, but they all mobilize themselves to actually set up cooperatives. In a South African situation, we have a similar situation. called Dr. Sanjay, those are not called cooperative, they are called self-centered. And that results at community level is ignored in finding ways of funding cooperatives. So the Mondragon established cooperatives in order for the cooperative bank to finance the establishment of enterprises, which are also cooperatives. So that is what I wanted also to input here. Then on the same page, we are talking about our interaction with Christian. Where we are talking about interaction with the retail sector. We have included other, we have included Pick and Pay and others, and we have omitted Mass. They are spending 77 billion on fresh produce procurement per year. They first, they import 70% of that, and 30% is locally procured, and between 2 and 2.5% is procured from SMEs and local houses, owned by the less people from poverty, housing, right, and township. This is what they do. Very important point. But they also showed willingness in adhering to the 30% policy of procuring goods from SMEs and cooperatives, which then means we change our engagement with them was not a typical exercise, because an exercise that indicated to us that they are willing to open themselves to the market and adhere to the 30% procurement, as well as 70% local procurement, because they even said that they have what is called the replacement of imported goods by locally produced food. Pick and Pay actually has a program focusing on that, of replacing imported goods with locally produced food. Which then means we see the private sector is, especially those that we have engaged with them, the retail sector is open, which gives us an opportunity. They then said, the support given to SMEs and cooperatives does not match the needs of the retail sector, creating an imbalance between the supply and demand. That is important because it will then inform the department, that you need to focus on supplier development so that we create a balance between the demand and supply. They also said that the Department of Small Business Development, as well as SMEs and cooperatives, do do not engage with the retail sector to understand what products are needed by the retail sector before embarking on production. What the department does is that an SMME and a cooperative will come to them and say, we want to produce this. But that is not informed by what the market wants. The market in this sense, meaning people who are buying from the retailers, because they all said, now we are not a consumer. We are a consumer of goods to the consumer. So we only keep what is wanted by the consumer after having done the research. And if then the department and SMEs and cooperatives don't know what people who come to our stores buy, they are not going to be able, your process of developing those people is going to have a mismatch, because we are going to develop suppliers of things that we do not want. We can't sell, because we don't buy goods to keep in the shop. We buy goods in order to supply the market. So it's important for both the department and SMEs and cooperatives to understand what is needed in the market. This is what I need. They also raise their concern about the funding criteria of the FI, which does not help SMEs and cooperatives to meet the demand. In fact, Bona, they don't buy two boxes of tomatoes, they buy some. And if our funding criteria does not help SMEs and cooperatives to produce the volume that they want, it becomes a problem. But they also said that they can't buy from 10 cooperatives and run around those cooperatives. They will prepare a situation where there is coordination, they are able to deal with one structure. A structure then that can coordinate activities on the ground, because when they don't have an interest of running around. Which then brings us to two issues. The need for establishing and supporting secondary cooperatives that would coordinate and play that role on the cooperative sector, and the need to have strategic partners in terms of the SMME that would also coordinate how the supplier to the retail sector is coordinated to ensure that there is guaranteed quality, and number two, demands are met on time and deadlines. The last thing that they did was the turnaround time in processing applications for funding by DFI. And they also observed that our support services are disintegrated, resulting with them canceling the contracts that they would have given to SMEs and cooperatives. I'm raising these issues because here we are dealing with a budget review report, which then has to address the budget and the strategic plan moving forward has to address these issues. We can't ignore them and put a budget that doesn't speak to these issues. What are the recommendations then? There is a need for the Department of Small Business Development to consider has been support services for SMMEs and cooperatives that are focusing on market research and feed that information back to SMMEs and cooperatives. Cooperatives and SMMEs must understand what products are actually required by the retail sector if they are to take advantage of the 30% procurement program. Number two is the need for the Department of Small Business and DFI supporting SMMEs and cooperatives to review their funding model to make them relevant to the needs of SMMEs and cooperatives, and more importantly, to address the imbalances of the supply and demand of the retail sector, so as to effectively implement the 30% procurement as well as the 70% local procurement. And we come to the vision. The ANC does not see anything wrong with the current vision of the department. Our understanding of the vision is that it gives a picture of what will be achieved through the mission statement and the strategic objectives of the department. That is how we understand the vision to be. A vision is an ideal situation. A vision is also not confined to the department, but rather the impact of the department to what is currently wrong. So the vision of the department cannot be confined to the department. The vision of the department has to reflect what will happen in South Africa as a result of the department. The mission of the department having executed its mission effectively and also having set the strategic objectives that are going to move the country to realize that vision. So the vision is not the vision of the department, it's the vision of the So the ANC is submitting that the vision of the department is correct. It relates to a radically transformed economy that the ANC was wanting to see. Currently, the economy is skewed. And the ANC is saying, in its 53rd conference, it took a resolution that said, we have to radically transform the economy for it not to be skewed to favor a few individuals who are participating in the mainstream of the economy. We have to bring people that are currently excluded and make them participate in the mainstream of the economy. And that is what the vision is. We, however, agree with the submission that says the mission statement has to be reworked to be more specific now about what exactly will be done by the department for the country to realize a transformed economy. We are also saying that the strategic objectives of the department are not specific, they are not measurable in terms of impact, they are only measurable in terms of numbers, and we want them to be measurable in terms of the impact. They are also not realistic, and they are not time-bound. And we are therefore recommending that the department should rework its mission statement and make its target, its strategic objective to be more specific, measurable in terms of the impact, not being achieved, and time bound when it will be achieved. We are saying that the department should try and move away from having the target that relates to the performance of the officials in the department, but they must have the target that relates to the change that we need to effect on the ground. We are also saying that as the ANC, the department should rework its approach for cooperative development and align the cooperative development to skills development of the target group for cooperatives. The target group for cooperatives are people that are poor, who depend on social grants and free services for their family survival. They are a burden to the government. And the reason for them to be like that, they lack skills and opportunities in terms of market and in terms of funding. So the issue of the cooperative academy becomes crucial in this matter. Because the cooperative development academy will come up with the concept and the model for South Africa to reduce dependency of poor people on social grants and becoming ill, which will then lead to a situation where, even if there is an NGO in Harlem where I come from, it is able to train people on a concept and a curriculum that has been developed by the Cooperative Development Agency. That's how important the development, the cooperative, and the, I mean the cooperative academy is important. Currently, people that are training cooperatives are actually unpacking the act. The cooperative state of South Africa, that is what they are seeing. Also, we are saying what develops cooperatives is their access to finance. And currently, there is no push on the Cooperative Bank Development Agency. And for as long as we don't have the Cooperative Development Agency that is going to deal with the education part, skills development part of cooperatives, and the Cooperative Bank Development Agency that is going to focus on the establishment of cooperative banks and community banks, we will not have sustainable cooperatives in South Africa. That is the submission of the ANC. Thank you very much. I then want to comment on the submission that has been made by the EFF. The EFF is making a submission that relates to enterprise development of small businesses and cooperatives, which relates to the ARCOD agreement signed by the business sector, government, labor, and civil society. All that needs to be done is to push and monitor that aid. That accord is actually implemented. We can't tell poor people around the money. Where there are mining companies that are making a lot of money but not contributing to those communities in terms of enterprise development. That is what it is. Portfolio committee and the department need to push that. The enterprise development accord has to be implemented, but also focusing on the mining sector to ensure that communities around those mines are actually developed. The mining sector has to invest in those communities. I don't have any contrary view to what was raised by the DA, except that we have responded to the issue of cooperatives, we have also responded to the issue of the vision, where we did not see eye to eye. We also responded to the issue of the intermediary, that is, what is it? What is our interpretation? And what is our submission as the ANC in relation to the use of intermediary? We are saying intermediary currently are allowed to charge exorbitant interest, which does not then help SMEs to develop. And then we are saying that intermediary act needs to be reviewed. That is our submission. I will open for comments on the submission of the application.
I agree with this issues that you have raised for the ANC. And I also wanted to read the proposal. Let them devise methods and principles of further empowering themselves. In other words, we must get away from doing things for them, but we must empower them to do things for themselves as a matter of principle. Which also relates to what people with disabilities usually say. Nothing about us without us. Because if we don't respect that principle, cooperatives are going to stay little babies all the way. Whereas they must be, they must grow up to be strong babies, strong youth, and be strong adults. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to pick up on your last point about the development of the mining community and enterprise development. Yesterday I didn't receive an invitation directly, but I saw an invitation that had been sent out by the Department of Small Business Development and the DTI
on Tuesday regarding cooperation between them and partners on reviving the township industrial parks and rural industrial parks, as well as an experimental project to provide communities around mining towns that are suffering services. Perhaps we could ask the Deputy Minister if she could tell us a little bit more about this program and to request that the departments tell us why we haven't been informed about this. Apparently it's being funded by the African Development Bank and the Treasury. It's not coming out of the budgets of small business. There are three projects. I can't remember exactly what they are. Two of them are being managed by DGI, and one of them is being managed by Small Business Development. So I'd just like to ask the Deputy Minister if she maybe has a bit of knowledge on this and how she could enlighten us.
Thank you very much. I've also written in the report. So I'll also put the issues that I would like to be considered. I think for the answer of Honorable Chan, that is the problem of the minister, because she sits in the IMC, the Interministerial Committee, that is dealing with the rural towns and also the mining towns, because it is escalated in the presidential. The help coming from the IMC, they wanted to help the progress that are tricky to this issue. That is what I know in terms of that particular allocation. The issue that I wanted to raise is two issues. The informal sector was raised, but if you look at the report, it stated that it was not funded for, because everybody has committed to the study without a budget. So I'm sure that is one issue that can also be taken in terms of making sure that we can make it work. I do agree, a lot of our people are also part of the informal sector, but they are contributing to the community. It's just that they are not registered, because people that are dealing with people that are registered with the CIPCs, but these ones are not registered, but they are contributing. So I'm sure they are a crucial factor then that is needed to get to the support, but that national informal business package. We're trying to look at how then we can take good people from the informal to the cultural mobility, but then without any funding, then that came from the speaker. And secondly, the question of the women employment, I'm sure all the members will agree with me that women constitute more than 52%. And surely, the South African Women Entrepreneurs Network, as discussed before in the committee, they shouldn't be playing the role of networking only. I think there was also advice from Honorable Charles on how can we leverage on other stakeholders to what is the role. But to me, I think they should be playing a bigger role in terms of making sure that women, economic and family can be realized. In terms of using you what the NYD, looking at the majority of those are part of the current women happening. When they have the piggybacking on a lot of programs. So to me, I think the funding of someone needs to be used more. But it can play the critical role in terms of humanity, economic and public interest. Thank you. I hope all the members will be aware of that source. They are there both as some sort for all of us. Across the board. Next?
And
regard to this, the Sahel needs to be transformed to play a developmental role instead of just an expression. And which then means that the submission made by the deputy minister is a correct submission because it relates them to the need and the recommendation that we should be making to the department to review Sahel and position Sahel as a developmental institution that would be positioned to empower women as opposed to facilitating networking for women. I think that Honorable Chan also raised a very important issue in the mission to SEPA, which we did not engage for. That SEPA is, in terms of its mandate, mandated to provide financial support to SMEs and cooperatives, which is very different. But SEPA is currently a subsidiary company of the ICP, which creates a problem in terms of political accountability. And we therefore need to make a recommendation that says the safeguards the fact that SEPA is a subsidiary of IDC, that needs to be removed. To make SEPA to be more aligned to the Department of Small Business and as well as its political accountability to fall under the Department of Small Business. Because if SEPA is registered as a subsidiary of IGC, it is then having one leg in the Department of Small Business Development and another leg under the Department of Economic Development. Then the question that will come at the end of the day would be who calls the shot. And that has to come up as a recommendation that it needs the minister. We agree with the proposal that is related to policy review, which in the ASD don't really be considered as the master of, that is, present the opportunity for community access to the market with PSNA and also for the community so that we are then able. And also the issue of the better part to make them know, to actually make that a reality so that we are not found lacking to how to be also now in that.
I support what you're saying from the chair, but I would want to add on the issue of SEPA versus IDC versus this department. I want to recommend that we also add that the funding that SEPA has been receiving should be taken. when it shifts from the relationship with ITC, that funding that was coming from ITC should also be taken into account so that the commitment that FIFA has gone into should not dramatically be, should not negatively be affected.
I was agreeing enthusiastically.
Oh, okay. Sure. Thank
you. Chair, I just want to just make a small point on this issue. Because just to put in a committee to advise the member of advice that it is really worrisome. Because, for example, as we're saying here, that the meeting has already been done. The next financial year going forward. For example, who builds the economic development? But what does we know? Because, I mean, the target and whatever you build, whatever you do to develop the budget, it depends on the target that's going to be funded and what are the problems going to be funded. Okay, how did they do, how did they build it before for this current financial year, going to the next financial year? Of which now you see, in terms of financial of funding, EDG builds bid for CIFA. In terms of monitoring the spend of funding, our department is monitoring what is it, there's a very huge chance. And then for the next year, when we take the budget and also CIFA coming to the law, I'm worried whether the money or the funds the budget going to be allocated to them going to be commensurate with the targets and priorities that we as the committee, the department, is expected them to achieve.
Yes, the committee may be interested to know that last week I was having a conversation with the chairperson of CIFA, and I asked her what challenges and difficulties she was facing. She was on a narrow path to tread in view of all the competing interests, and she revealed a very important piece of information that other people were listening to the conversation, which is that notwithstanding repeated requests, she has yet to have a meeting with the minister to discuss the strategic direction of CIFA and how it's been aligning the department. This is 7 months after the department took initial responsibility for CIFA. And I think we need to ask the question why. I will be asking the question. And it seems that it's one of the neglect or disinterest or some agenda being pursued here. But it does seem that CIFA's being left to hang out to dry, and I think we as a committee need to get a grip here and try and get a definite answer. Do you remember when she told us in the old assembly building when we had that meeting that she was given a grilling? She said that the decision was only made on the 1st of April. By cabinet to transfer CIFA to the content advisors just advised us correctly that the budget and the request for funding would have been determined by the DED, not by the SPD.
The minister is thinking about CIFA. And she has requested me to go to the minister. And the only time she was afforded a meeting, she was given 15 minutes. And she thinks that 15 minutes are not enough to deal with the issue that she wanted. With the minister of the minister of going to help her to chair a board when she doesn't know the strategic direction of the department and the financial support then that SAFER needs to give in order to achieve that strategic direction. So, what Honorable Chan is saying is true. And she did not meet with me here in Cape Town or Gauteng. She flew to Cape Town yesterday. Which means she is there about understanding what this department wants SAFER to do. And she can only get that through a meeting with the minister. That message will go back because the manager of the office of the minister is here, the parliamentary liaison officer is here, the political advisor to the minister is here, the deputy minister is here. Thank you. This then brings us to the conclusion of our deliberation. What is then going to happen? The support staff will go back and incorporate what we have contributed, and then after that we will meet on the 28th to look at the product that they would have come up with, whether it took into account all our contributions, and then on the same day we will adopt our